Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen. It's our delight to have you on board with us today as once again we face the issues. Let me remind you, as we face the issues, it's not based on denominational dogma, political ideological bent, or a theological doctrinal persuasion that would be on the left margin, if you will. Keep in mind, there are a lot of folks today that are denominational bent and leaning. They base their decision based on what the denomination says rather than what the Bible says. I believe we need to turn back to the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God as the only source for each of us, especially as Christians, the only source to find truth. Jesus said to his disciples in John 8:31 and 32, "If you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free." And then Jesus identifies that truth in John 14:6. Jesus says, "I am truth." And then he further describes it and gives us a full determination as to what is truth. He says, "Thy word is truth," in John 17:17. We should seek the truth, ladies and gentlemen. In your life and in mine, there's no greater level than to find the truth. It was George Orwell a number of years ago that said, the further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it. We're finding that to be relevant, especially as you look at the Beltway in Washington. You find that all that's been perpetrated upon the Trump administration in the past three and a half years been carried out by a lie, and now the truth is coming out, and some of the bugs are trying to crawl back under the rocks. But that's a subject for another day. The 15th century theologian and church reformer, Jan Hus, perhaps said it better than I have heard anyone else couch it, that is, about truth. Jan Hus says, "Faithful Christians, seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, defend the truth, even to death." And I challenge every Christian today to take that as the mantra, the motto, the mindset, the mandate for your life each and every day, is to be faithful in seeking to find the truth, learning the truth, listening to the truth, loving the truth, living the truth, and then standing and defending the truth even unto death. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of today's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Tam. Tools for Tam is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in a turnkey business package for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Tam carries the full line of homeowner brands like Honda and Echo. They also carry a full line of hurricane preparedness equipment with the Honda generators, and they have a full staff of those that are knowledgeable to answer all of your questions about power landscape equipment and hurricane backup and preparedness equipment. Tools for Tam is located at 11291 Old St. Augustine Road, 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. That's located at the intersection of I-295 and Old St. Augustine Road, right where the gigantic U.S. flag flies. The base of that flagpole, you'll find the home of Tools for Tam. ToolsforTam.com, ToolsforTam.com. Ladies and gentlemen, lest I forget to remind you, and oftentimes I get caught up and involved in what I want you to understand and what we're trying to say and fail to remind you, if you'd like to join in the dialogue and discussion, you can do so by dialing 831-0917. 831-0917 is the telephone number. That phone number gets you directly through to the studios, right to our microphones, so that we can have the dialogue and discussion. We invite your telephone call. We invite you to join in the discussion on the subjects that we're talking about with the issues each and every day. Your telephone call is invited. We would love to hear from you. We're going to continue a conversation in a similar vein that we had on our last broadcast on Let's Face the Issue. Today we're talking about Christian persecution and prosecution for faith. Christian prosecution and persecution just for having our faith. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to introduce you this morning to two people. They're not present with me, but I want to introduce you to them anyway. I want to introduce you to two people. Perhaps you've never met them. Perhaps you've never even heard of them. But their story could be your story if Jacksonville passes the special rights bill called the HRO. Yes, these two individuals, and I could name many, many, many others, but these are the two that's the highest profile in the nation. Been going through the battles now for some 5, 6, 7 years, each of them. But there, if this special rights, HRO, that's the Human Rights Ordinance, as it is called, if that special rights, the Human Rights Ordinance, that's now being fast-tracked into Vol County in Jacksonville by the City Council, if that ordinance passes, it would basically cancel our civil rights, our constitutional liberties, our freedom of religion, and our Christian faith. Each and every Christian, ladies and gentlemen, would be put in jeopardy in the city of Jacksonville if this ordinance that is on the fast track now passes. Let me introduce to you, first of all, ladies and gentlemen, a 76-year-old grandmother. 76-year-old grandmother. A Christian. She's an artist with flowers. Her flower shop is named Arlene's Flowers. It's in Richland, Washington. The owner's name is Baronelle Stutzman. Baronelle Stutzman. Baronelle has been prosecuted, persecuted, punished, just because she refused to prepare wedding flowers for a sodomite couple. It's interesting, ladies and gentlemen, when you find people like this that have taken a stand, regardless of what the society said, regardless of what the politicians have said, regardless of the persecution and the prosecution, of not bowing, not bending, and continue to stand on the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God. Ladies and gentlemen, keep in mind, when it comes to what is called the HRO, the Human Rights Ordinance, it's better looked at and understood through the prism of the sodomite lifestyle, LGBTQ movement, as it is called in society today. Baronelle Stutzman, here's an article that I believe illuminates who this person is. Arlene's Flowers, titled the article, Arlene's Flowers, owner, speaks out at Supreme Court hearing. It's a fight over wedding flowers that's turned into a Washington Supreme Court battle. Just a day after the judges heard her case, Arlene's Flowers owner, Baronelle Stutzman, invited Action News into her shop for one-on-one interview. This is the article. "It's not just my freedom," said Stutzman. "People don't understand it could happen to me. If it could happen to me, it could happen to anyone else in America." It all started in the Richmond Flower Shop, the article says, when he came in and asked about his wedding. I just gently put my hand on his hand and said, "I'm sorry. I can't do your wedding because of my relationship to Jesus Christ." It's a case of discrimination, or it's a case of freedom of expression, this article says. Baronelle Stutzman said, "We hugged each other and Rob left. So to me, that doesn't sound like I hurt him. Or if I did, I had no intention to do so," she said, adding, "and dignity and hurt goes both ways." Stutzman says it's her First Amendment right to refuse to create a custom flower arrangement for a same-sex wedding that she says she could not do because of her faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Ladies and gentlemen, that's Baronelle Stutzman. She has gone through the persecution and prosecution now for some 7+ years. She's gone through the journey of continuing to take a stand. She's been fined about $135,000. Were it not for the pro bono constitutional lawyers like Alliance Defending Freedom and others that's been representing her, been impossible for her to have gone as far as she has gone already. She's faced the potential of closing her shop and ultimately the closure of the shop. Now, let me just read you another article that gives you a little better handle on who I'm speaking of. Baronelle Stutzman, Arlene's Flower Shop, Richland, Washington. It's in Washington State. Here's another article that gives a little further insight on the individual I've introduced you to, Baronelle Stutzman. Washington State flower shop owner forced to worry about more than COVID-19 pandemic. Dateline Monday, May 4th, 2020. Everybody has their own window on how the coronavirus is affecting us. Doctors, first responders, teachers, ministers, restaurant owners, people in the travel industry. But it might surprise you to learn that those of us who work with flowers have our own 360-degree view of the impact. This is the time of the year when floral artists come into their own. Not only lots of spring and early summer weddings, and usually and an unusual number of birthdays, anniversaries, hospital stays and funerals, it's prom season, graduation, Mother's Day, and Easter. When the executive order, listen, ladies and gentlemen, when an executive order in Washington State shut down my flower shop for the first time in 47 years, I hardly knew how to respond. We just posted signs on the front door and the back door and notices on Facebook and the website letting people know we'd be gone for a little while. That left the question of what to do with more than $8,000 worth of flowers that we had had in the coolers. I couldn't bear to throw them all away. We began arranging impromptu bouquets, taking them to local nursing homes, handing them out to first responders, contacting mortuaries to ask them about grieving families who might be unable to have a traditional funeral service right now. So many were amazed and delighted to receive those bursts of colors and sweet aroma. Flowers send messages, and we wanted to send a message of love, joy, hope to the people who are hurting in the dark times. After that, I looked around at my 11 employees, some of whom have been with me for decades, many of whom live paycheck to paycheck. I paid them what extra I could to hold them over. We couldn't even hug goodbye. We just looked at each other with the big puppy dog eyes and smiled and waved and went home. And there, like everyone else, we wait. I haven't lost everything yet. If I do, it probably won't be the coronavirus to blame. Washington State has filed suit against me simply because I couldn't design flowers celebrating a friend's same-sex wedding, though I designed countless other arrangements for him through the years. The American Civil Liberties Union is suing me on behalf of the friend in both my personal and business capacities. So I did something I'd never have imagined doing, enlisting Alliance Defending Freedom's attorneys to defend my First Amendment rights. My case is now on appeal to the U.S. Supreme Court. If the justices decline to hear it, or if they rule against me, I could lose all my earthly possessions. End quote. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about the surrendering of Christian liberties for prosecution and persecution just because of our faith. Now, there's one more person I want to introduce you to before we open the lines for our callers. We've talked about Baronelle Stutzman. She has the flower shop, Arlene's Flower Shop in Washington State. Well, there's another individual I want to introduce you to. That's Jack Phillips. Jack owns Masterpiece Cake Shop. Jack's crime? He didn't rob a bank. He didn't shoot someone. He didn't burglarize someone's home. He didn't violate any laws of transportation and traffic. He's a Christian baker, that refused to bake a cake for a sodomite couple. Jack Phillips has had his case now being prosecuted and persecuted for over 7 years. Jackson's case has already gone to the U.S. Supreme Court. U.S. Supreme Court remanded it back to the lower courts in Colorado and asked them to go back and revisit it because, according to the Supreme Court, their declaration and decision was that he had been maltreated, mistreated, prosecuted, and persecuted because of his Christian faith. Here's an article that gives you a little better insight about Jack Phillips. Title of the article is, "Despite winning at the Supreme Court, Colorado cake artist now faces a new lawsuit. Jack Phillips doesn't belong in a courtroom. He belongs at the corner, the counter of Masterpiece Cake Shop, creating beautiful, one-of-a-kind cakes for his customers. But for more than 7 years, Jack has been pulled away from his work in order to fight for his freedom to live according to his faith. Through it all, Jack has endured the spotlight of the national media, lost huge portions of his business, had to let several employees go. He's received hateful telephone calls, letters, and even death threats just because of exercising his religious liberties. After two wins, including one at the Supreme Court, you would think it will all be over. But now, another lawsuit has been filed against Jack. He's the Colorado cake artist who was at the center of the 2018 most talked about U.S. Supreme Court decision. Although Jack won an important victory in the U.S. Supreme Court, the state of Colorado didn't get the message. It targeted Jack Phillips once again. The Colorado Civil Rights Commission set in its sights Jack Phillips targeting Jack because of his Christian faith. That was clear when it allowed the Colorado cake artist, but not Jack, to decline to create custom cakes that express messages that the artist considered objectionable. In other words, in the state of Colorado, ladies and gentlemen, some people went to cake shops, Muslim cake shops, wondering if you'd bake a cake with a Christian cross on it with something about Jesus. They said no. That was not prosecutable. Because Jack Phillips said no to a sodomite couple, he's been persecuted and prosecuted. And it was even clearer when some members of the commission made hostile statements about Jack. One called his religious liberty defense a despicable piece of rhetoric and compared him to perpetrators of the Holocaust. The hostility toward Jack's faith was so obvious that the United States Supreme Court rebuked the commission in a 7-2 decision by the High Court that commended Colorado's clear and impressionable hostility. Condemned Colorado's clear and impressionable hostility toward Jack and his sincere beliefs. The Colorado government should have learned its lesson by now, but it didn't. Less than a month after the Supreme Court's decision in 2018, Colorado government targeted Jack once again. And now for over 7 years, Jack has suffered. He faced threats and government punishment simply because he runs a business according to his faith. In 2012, Jack declined the request to bake a cake celebrating his same-sex marriage. And it goes on to give the historical overview from that date through the Supreme Court's ruling and then remanding it back to the state of Colorado to find just a couple of months later they filed suit once again. And he's been in court constantly, ladies and gentlemen. Why? Because of the human rights ordinance with the Human Rights Commission in Colorado and the other one being in the state of Washington. Now, you think that's unique? It's not. Those HROs, human rights ordinances, supposedly to protect the rights of the sodomite lifestyle, have permeated the United States of America. They're across our nation, ladies and gentlemen, notwithstanding the fact that the feds have decided years and years and years ago, the feds made the decision that sex means biological sex, not sexual identity or gender identity. Here's an article that says, "Is a man or a man? Because he says he's a man or because he was born that way? And can a man say he's a woman and then claim discrimination based on the gender identity if an employer demands that he dress like a man on the job?" It's a huge quandary that courts are facing nationwide, and the Department of Justice wants the Supreme Court to resolve the issue. When Title VII was enacted in 1964, sex meant biological sex and refers to the physiological distinction between male and female. explains a brief filed with the U.S. With the Supreme Court and the Department of Justice in the lawsuit by a Michigan man who claims discrimination based on gender identity by the funeral home that employed him. Ladies and gentlemen, I won't go into all of the details, but it's a case that originated in Michigan where a funeral home, a mortuary, had an individual. In fact, it was Harris Funeral Home of Detroit, Garden City, Michigan, and one of the workers decided he was going to dress as a woman, act like a woman, become a woman, wanted to be identified as a woman, and they said no. And as a result of that, suit was filed, and it's waiting now, as we speak, to hear the Supreme Court's ruling and decision on that. When they'll make decision, only God knows. But ladies and gentlemen, perhaps at one point in time in the future of America, we'll find a decision made based on the Supreme Court. Because you see, medical science is not sufficient. You're male or female. You're born that way. There's no transition. But yet there's been that push with the LGBTQ agenda nationwide that's pushing the different bills, just as is being introduced here in Duval County. I believe I have a call on the line. Give me the question or comment, please.
Dr. Youngblood, this is Raymond Johnson again, Biblical Concepts Ministries, and I appreciate you letting us call in again today and being so diligent to warn our citizens of what's going on as we you face the issues daily. So I love the title of your program because that's exactly what you're doing. I just wanted to continue a little bit about where we left off yesterday, but you know, speaking of what you're talking about today. If it's okay, I'd like to introduce another person to your list. I believe he's been a guest on your show. It's a friendly acquaintance of mine, and that is Mauricio Belgrano.
Yes, he's a photographer right here in the city of Jacksonville. Yeah, if you would, Raymond, thank you for calling. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Raymond Johnson. He's with Biblical Concepts Ministries, a ministry that's on the forefront of dealing with issues like this. He has been a star walk in Jacksonville, facing the city council and dealing with them, calling and reaching out to people, just as we are today, to motivate people, our listeners, to become involved and to realize what's looming before us in our city. Raymond, go ahead. Give a little overview, and I've interviewed him on the radio several months back. I've not kept up with his case. Give us an overview and an insight as to where it is and what happened, who he is, what's taking place, what did he do, and what's taking place in his life.
Right. Well, I'm like you. I don't know all the details since then, but I just simply wanted to give a quick reminder and blurb for him. He's a friendly acquaintance of mine, and you know, he's been a blessing to the city for many years. He's very active in the pro-life community. He's one of the only people that goes out to a particular abortion clinic on a weekly basis and stands out there and preaches the gospel and just tries to be a witness. And he stands alone quite often by himself. And, you know, sometimes he talks to a lot of people. A lot of times he talks to the men that are coming with women. And so he's sharing the gospel with these people. He's not standing there protesting. He's ministering. So, but anyway, just the brief overview. You know, I know that he was attacked. He owns Namesake Pictures, does videos and photography, and he did recently, I'd say in the last year or so, had a same-sex couple come to him, and you know, I guess they wanted photography for a same-sex wedding. And he had to turn that down. And Mauricio does live here in Jacksonville. And so that's a recent local case. And I'm unsure of whatever happened with that case, but I do know that they the same-sex couple decided to run to the news media, make a big story out of it. And I know he's shared that testimony on your program. So just wanted to, you know, make sure that the listeners are reminded that, you know, there are local cases of things that have happened. That's the most recent. I know that he chose to speak up. He went, Mauricio went to did an interview with First Coast News and just shared, you know, his conviction and his belief. He was never mean to these people. He just simply could not and would not go and you know, take photos of a same-sex wedding. That's just not what he chose to do. However, under the HRO law, he is now committed an offense. I don't know if you want to say a crime, basically. I mean, they're making him out to be a criminal, you know.
Raymond, let me jump in just for a moment. Let me jump in for just a moment and amplify on this for our listeners. We're talking about a case right here in Jacksonville, a Christian photographer that refused to do a wedding photographic session for a sodomite couple. As a result of that, under Raymond, let's be clear now, too, for our listeners. And I had thought about this case this morning, but his potential prosecution was based on the February 2017 passing of the HRO in the city. And now something that just absolutely boggles my mind, staggers my imagination. If the appeals court, and it has, and we'll talk about that in a moment, has rendered that adjudication, that bill, that law, if it's rendered it null and void because it being unconstitutional, illegally written, and if the prosecution has started for the Christian photographer here in Jacksonville predicated on that law has now been deemed by the appeals court in the state of Florida as to being unenforceable, then my question would beg to be asked and answered by a legal constitutionalist is whether or not any process of any procedure against the photographer, whether or not it is illegal for it to move forward or whether they would have the right to move forward with it. That's something interesting that I think that we need to follow up on just to find out. But go ahead with your statement.
Well, I agree, and I would think that case would have to be dropped, and you know, then I would think, well, now you have a very innocent person that who's already been his business has already been you know, his name has been drugged through the mud and the media and potential legal issues. Again, we'll have to follow up and see what happened there, because I'm just unsure. But I do know that this good, fine Christian young man, just trying to make an honest living, was very well harassed over NHRO law. And I do want to bring up, I guess we're coming up on your break here soon. So, but briefly, I will just remind everybody, I don't, for the sake of the individual, I don't want to name names and rehash the situation, but there was, and this has been several years ago, 4, 5, 6 years ago, even before the HRO was passed, some LGBT people got together and harassed a business owner. It was how do I say it? Like a children's museum type place in town. And, it happened to be, a pastor's wife that, ran the museum for children. But just because they did not, they would not include a lesbian couple under their family plan. They had rates for certain people and then, you know, a certain discounted rate for families with children and whatnot, for, you know, an annual pass or whatever it was, admission, with the museum. So, again, that lady, went to the news media and they literally showed up several times, somewhere in my files. I probably have the photos that I saved off the line, where they were protesting in front of this business. I mean, just, you know, there was probably 25, 50 people. All these, you know, homosexuals and lesbians were out front of the business with a lot of small children, by the way, in these photos with these awful signs. It was very sad to see these pictures. But that stuff has been happening right here. It's been happening. This is the tactics of these radical LGBT, you know, lobbyists. And I'll throw in another tidbit before we go to break, and that is just to tell you how bad all that is. And now think we have the lead attorney for these people, Jimmy Mediette, has now filed a run for clerk of the court, because this year in 2020, the clerk of the court is up for election, because the current clerk of the court, who is a conservative and stopped holding ceremonies down at the courthouse so that they wouldn't do his staff. They didn't feel comfortable doing same-sex weddings at the courthouse, so they just cut him out altogether. But anyway, so Jimmy Mignette is the lead local LGBT rights attorney, he is running.
Hold your thoughts right there. Hold your thoughts right there, if you would, Raymond. We're going to come back right after the top of the hour news. We're going to break for 1 hour, ladies and gentlemen. One moment for our top of the hour news. Hang in there. Don't turn you down. About 1 minute, we'll be back with Let's Face the Issues.
Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.